Trust me when I say this. The book of John is a multi-layered book. The revelation is multi-layered. The revelation in the book of John will deliver you to the Father. Really, in my opinion, the way he said it, it'll hold you there. It'll keep you there. Everyone has been visited or encountered the love of the Father in their life. It's not enough to encounter it. You have to dwell in it. And to dwell in it, you'll have to be upheld there. You'll have to be able to come to that same place every day. And once that place opens, you can come there every day. Whether you feel good about yourself, whether you're living in your shortcoming or your failure, it doesn't matter. Your faith will override that. That's why you must learn to go by faith and not feeling. If you try to worship God and worship him until you try to arrive there, you're waiting on feeling. Well, there's days you're not going to feel very good about yourself. And if you're waiting on the feel it, you're not going to get there. You're going to have to go by faith. Does it take account for feeling? Faith will deliver you in and feelings will catch up. But once you learn to go there, there's a very wide open room. And it's the Father designed us to be and dwell with him. And so anyway, tonight, we talked a little on Sunday about the first three phases. We've talked about the first and second phase. Tonight, we're going to just jump right into the third phase. I got a text from Mike today. He says, I will come. It's come, receive, reveal, dwell, and demonstrate. Those are the five things. Now, when he says he wills. Every time he said this, he says, I will. So the first thing you want to do is establish his will, because you can't move by faith until you establish his will. Then you need revelation of that will, not knowledge. I can give you knowledge and revelation, but the Holy Spirit is what's going to open your eyes. I remember when I used to listen to my spiritual father's teachings, sometimes it'd take me a while for the light to come on. Sometimes six or seven times through, I'd had a security job. I did that on purpose so I could pray all night. I didn't want nobody around me. And so I took midnight security job and I'd listen. I had earphone and I'd listen all the time. And then maybe that sixth, seventh time through, bam, it would hit me. Then I knew what he was talking about. That's the way revelation is. You got to stay with it until it's revealed. Until you get revelation, you're not going to be able to move into these areas. You can't move into these areas by knowledge. Knowledge is the foundation, but revelation is what opens the eyes of your understanding. And once the eyes of your understanding are open, then you can move into that place by faith. So many people are trying to move somewhere. They don't have the grid yet. If you don't have the revelation, it's opened the room. As you get the revelation, you can move by the revelation. The Holy Spirit will move you through that revelation. That's why the Lord said, if you'll keep my words. And you can pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The Holy Spirit is going to help you do all this. You're not alone. Say, I'm not alone. It's growing intensely. Once you move into the Father's love, where he is, it's the only way I can distinguish it. Because there is a love that comes to you here, but there is a love where he is. Praise the Lord. This is a mystery unfolding right now. These five areas are the key. They were the mystery of his mantle, of what the Lord did. Because you have to understand something. Everybody thinks Jesus walked around and did all this. He said in the book of John, continuously he said it, I and myself can do nothing. He said that. He said, my doctrine is not my own. He said, the works that I do not do them. It's my Father that's dwelling in me that's doing these works. And once you understand that dynamic, because he asked you to believe that, you have to understand that dynamic, because he wants to bring you into the same relationship. The book of John was a prototype. When you see Christ, he wants to do the exact same thing. That's why he came. Jesus of Nazareth. I woke up the other morning and a scripture was just there right when I woke up. It said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, being anointed of the Holy Ghost, went about doing good, destroying all the works of the devil. How many of you have read that? The first thing I said, well, there it is. He did the works. See, the Holy Spirit was with him. He did it. And it just stayed there. And I'm thinking, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, being anointed of the Holy Ghost, went about doing good, destroying all the works of the devil. How many of us didn't hear this part? And God was with him. Say, the Father was with him. Another in John 8, I saw a verse that once you start seeing this, it'll come alive. He says, he that sent me is with me. He goes, the shepherd's going to be struck this night, and all the sheep's going to scatter. And leave me alone, yet I'm not alone. My Father is with me. Now, that's not just presence. He's with him in oneness. And he wants you to believe that first, and then he's going to teach you how to move in that kind of union. And that's what this mystery is about, of how to move into that union. The Father is his glory, and he's going to reveal him to you. So you got to get in position to have him revealed. Amen. That's a very, very high place. I'm not talking about the Father's presence. I'm talking about the Father's manifest love. The love that transforms, the love that has the power to reimage you. The love that can make you without spot and wrinkle. That kind of love. You think you're going to read your Bible the rest of your life and it's going to make you without spot and wrinkle? Those words were designed to bring you to him. He is going to perfect you. Amen? So the I wills, you really, really, really want to understand the mystery of the I wills. I'm going. I will go. I'm going to go by way of the cross. Then I will come again. I will come again to you. I'll not leave you fatherless. That is good news when you're trying to approach him. He's not going to leave you fatherless. He goes, I will receive you unto myself where I am. That's a whole operation in itself. By this, by all men will know you're my disciples, your love one for another. Please put out from your understanding and put it on a shelf. God is not going to ask us to love from a foundation of dysfunction. And our dysfunction is somehow going to present love that the world will see that God's with us. That is not the kind of love he's looking for. Amen. That should set you free. When the Bible talks about his love, he makes a very large contrast between his love and our love. In fact, 1 Corinthians 13, he said, let's go into a more excellent way. Paul was talking about that. He knew how he found it, but he said, this is what it's going to look like. He says, but it's possible to give your body to be burned and not have love for a cause. It's possible to give all your goods to the poor and not have love. I mean, if you gave all your goods to the poor and sold all you had and gave it to the poor and somebody said you don't have love, you slap them right upside the head. I said, what are you talking about? I don't have love. How'd that feel? Because human sufficiency can go to great extent, but that's not where God wants us to originate from, self-will power. That's not how this is going to get done. It's not going to come out of self-will power. Now, that doesn't mean you need to go act like the devil all week until you get conformed in the love of the Father. It does mean you need to exercise some temperance. But he's not going to ask you to draw the love of the Father up out of you when your foundation is laden with dysfunction. It's not going to happen. You're not going to get that from yourself. Amen. You're going to get that kind of love from him. He says, you're going to love because I first loved you. You're going to find this kind of love. And a lot of people don't understand because they never get high enough to this place. So they're operating in this thing they think they call love. I did that for a long time. There's another thing that goes beyond what you think called love. Amen. This is the truth. If you're dwelling in love, it won't be long that love will start dwelling with you in the earth. You will look like love, act like love. manifested everywhere, but it won't be originating from you. It'll be originating from the Father. In fact, the Father will come down here and dwell with you. But that's not where we're at tonight. So let's get back into this third operation. This is the operation where the Lord, he says, the Lord said, I'll come and get you. I'll not leave you fatherless. Now listen, God didn't design this to come into an orphan-laden society and try to father you. He wanted to bring you out. That's like God putting the promised land in the middle of Egypt and said, now just step on into the promised land while you're in Egypt. God doesn't do that. He has to draw you out of where you're at. That's why God requires you to come to him. Where he is. He wants you to come out where he can re-image you where he is. He does not want to re-image you here. He wants to re-image you in the love of the Father. Does that make sense? To do that, he's going to send his Holy Spirit to you, and the Holy Spirit's going to bring you to Christ, where Christ dwelleth in the right hand of the Father. And Jesus said, I'll receive you unto where I am. That's through the door. All right? Now, at this place here, this is huge. Jesus said that he would reveal the Father. I'll get into some of this again. That is his heart, his purpose for coming to get you in the first place. Was it to save you and leave you at the cross? His whole design was to bring you into where he was with the Father. He said, I will you be with me. Now, a lot of people misunderstand this verse. I will you be with me where I am that they may behold my glory. What does he mean by that? Behold my glory. Well, you can behold the glory cloud. Behold the presence, the heavenly atmosphere. That's not what he's actually saying. That's part of it. What he's saying is, I will you be with me where I am in the Father so you can behold my glory, which is the Father. He is my glory. This oneness that I have with him, not even the angels have that. I want you to be with me in this oneness. For he's loved me from the foundations of the world. And I want you to experience the same love the way he's loved me. I want you to experience it the same way, in the same place, in me. That's what he meant by that. Amen. This one from John 17 there said, these words spake Jesus when he lifted his eyes up to heaven and said, Father, the hour is coming. Glorify the Son that he may glorify thee. How many of you now understand what he's saying there? Raise your hand. See, I think you're already there. I'm wanting to jump all the way to the next level. How many of you don't really quite understand what he's saying? And it's okay. John 13, if you obey that first verse, he's saying the same thing in John 13 as he is in John 17. He says this as soon as Judas leaves the room. He says this. He says, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God the Father, when he's saying God there, he means Father, will be glorified in him. And he says in John 17, glorify the Son that the Son may glorify thee. He's saying the exact same thing here. What he's saying is this. Now is the time that I am to be, this might help. Take what you think means glorified and put it on a shelf. Some people think he's going to clothe him in glory and all this, which he is, but just put it on a shelf for a minute. When he says, now is the time the Son of Man to be glorified, or when he says, Father, glorify the Son, here's what he means. Now is the time that I'm going to go away from the earth. I'm going to go by the death, burial, and resurrection. I'm going to go through the cross. I'm going to go through the grave. I'm going to be resurrected, and I'm going to be restored to where I was with you, Father, from the beginning. That's what he meant in John 17:5. If you look at that verse there, just look at the verse right there under 17. He says, now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So what he's saying is, Father, restore me to where I was at the right hand. Glorify me into perfect oneness with you. He's returning to the Father where he is. Do you see that part? Everybody got that? The next verse is he's asking to return to the Father. He's saying throughout this, it's expedient that I go away for this purpose. If I don't get to the Father, I cannot represent you there. And until I get there, I can't represent you. His purpose is to return because, but I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to come again. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to you. I'm going to send salvation to you. You're going to get born again, and he's going to teach you how to come to where I am. He's going to teach you jurisdictional transfer. He's going to teach you. He's going to receive all that I am, who I am, what I am, where I am, and he's going to show it to you. He's going to reveal it to you. He's going to take an invisible realm, and he's going to reveal it to you. And then he's going to bring you to where I am, and he says, and I will receive you where I am in that place that I'm holding with the Father. And from that place, I'm now going to glorify the Father to you. So he says, Father, glorify me. Let me return to where I am, that I will execute the office of high priest and mediator and intercessor, and I will bring all men to me, and then I will glorify you to them. I will show you to them. I will reveal you to them. I'll reveal what you and I hold in this oneness, in this glory that we have, and this whole reason why we came and got them. And I'll reveal it to them. That is a ministry of the Lord Jesus alone, to reveal and glorify the Father to you. We need the Father glorified to us. There's a difference between, Father, we glorify your name. And singing in the songs of worship and praying to the Father and loving him. There's a difference between that here. There's a difference when the Holy Spirit teaches you how to come to where he is, where Christ receives you to himself, where you dwell where he is, and then he opens the Father to you. He reveals him to you. He glorifies this glorious place. And the result of that is you get introduced. Now, I knew the Father. I've been doing this for 30 years. Ministry, my birthday will mark 20 years in full-time ministry. I mean, this long time, I knew the Father. I taught on this stuff. 10 years ago, I was teaching this. But I still didn't know it. I hadn't met him yet. I mean, I've touched his love. All of you do. You've seen me in the love of God. I know I've been, but I never came into that kind of room with him. The Lord opened that. He revealed him in a way that now I understand how the Father is his glory. I understand what all this is about. I understand why he wants you there. The beauty of the Father and dwelling with him and the warmth of his embrace and the power of his love to transform and reimage us into his image is all there. And that's what he wants to do. And he's going to glorify that place. He's the only one that can do it. No other person can do that. He's the only one that's going to truly reveal the Father to you in a way they want him revealed. He's going to bring you into the Father. Into perfect love. Does that make sense? Glorify me, Father, that I can bring them to where I am. Clothe me in that own self where you are, Father, and I'll bring them into me, and I'll reveal you to them. I'll open the veil. That's when he said. Now, what these scriptures do, he's sending more than just words and promises here. He's sending words that actually can bring you to this place. These words have the power to take you from where you are when you properly interact with them and bring you there. That's the power of these words. They're not just words. They're his words. They were given him from the Father. He said, Father, I have given them the words you gave me. Because he knew these words, these upper room words, had the power to bring you. To uphold you there, to deliver you into an invisible realm. But will be made so visible to the world very soon. Won't be long when the Father will be dwelling us here in the world to see him again. And when he dwells with us here, I mean, I know people say, well, yeah, the Father dwells. When the Father's truly dwelling here, he will manifest the kingdom of God. That's what he does. If the Father's dwelling and he sees blind eyes, rest assured, those eyes will not stay blind. That's the difference between the Father dwelling Now, the presence of God, I get all that. But when the Father dwells out of this one, the exchange of oneness, this is what we're after. We're all going there together. These words have the power to get you there. Jesus said, if I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no man's going to come unto the Father but by me. If he had known me, he should have known the Father. He's actually talking about the Father dwelling with him here. This is an exchange we know so little about. He says, from henceforth, from this point forward, you will. He basically says, you will know him. Listen, you will know him. I'm going to see to it that you know him. I'm going to see to it that you get introduced to him. I was listening to Wendy Alec last night. She does God TV. She was all in the love of the Father. I said, oh, you're with her. She knows you. She started talking about the Father. Started opening John 17. But she opened it pretty good. But she said something. She goes, I knew Jesus for a long time. She goes, I walked with him for 18 years. I knew him. And I always said I knew God. But one day I met the Father. And she said, it changed my life forever and changed our ministry forever. I said, she got it. I don't know why she found it. You can find it. But these words will help you find it. I am convinced these words will get us all there. Amen. He says, from henceforth, you will know him. That's his mission. Amen. Verse 20, at that day, a little while, the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I'm going to the Father. I'm going to bring you to where I am. You're going to see me where I am. At that day, you shall know gnosko. See, does he want you to know this? There's no sense trying to manifest, we're trying to manifest the kingdom here. And here's where the body of Christ is. Listen to me very carefully. The body of Christ is full of the prophetic, the apostolic, all of it is seeing what God wants to do next. Everybody's looking at it. Everybody knows it's coming. And everybody's trying to manifest it. And what they're doing is taking the gift realm, which was not designed to do what this realm does, and they're maxing it to the nth degree and calling it revival. But the gift realm is never going to produce a sustainable, full-blown revival of the creative realm. It's not designed for that. It's in measure, and it was given to a dysfunctional church. The Corinthian church was the most dysfunctional church of all, and it was given because God loves, and God's not going to wait till you're perfect to use you. Chuck is a great example of that. Does God ever use you? If God's ever used you, raise your hand. Were you perfect? I rest my case. However, there's a different operation once we get reimaged in the Father. Amen? Because of that day, you will know that I am in you, Father, and you will know you're in me as I am in the Father. You'll know it. Say, I'll know it. These are all promises. Amen. Now I want to shift into something. There again, John 16, he says what he says. Right now I'm talking to you in Proverbs because you don't have the capacity to understand until I send my Holy Spirit. That's what he's told him. He goes, really, you don't have the capacity to understand what I'm saying because my Holy Spirit hasn't come to reveal this yet. He goes, he'll remind you of everything I'm saying to you. He goes, I want to say many things to you, but you can't even bear them. He goes, my Holy Spirit's going to bring them. He goes, but I'm talking to you, Proverbs. There's a day coming that I'm going to openly reveal him to you. You see that? If they got it, we're going to get it. Amen? Glory to God. So, John 14. So, verse 31 is the last verse. So, he says, hereafter, I'm not going to talk much with you. Prince of this world cometh, he hath no place in me. But the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Now rise, let us go hence. Do you think the Son of God in delivering this level of words, the impact of these words, just arbitrarily just said that? You all get up. I mean, he said arise. Did he not? They were in the upper room. He said, let us go hence. He said, get up, arise. Arise means stand up. You don't have to stand up. He asked them to stand up and let us go. Let us go. You think he just, where did they go? They were still in the upper room in chapter 16, chapter 15, 16, and 17. They were in the upper room. Where did they go? Where did they go? Where are we going? So, what's he talking about? I'm going away. I'm going to come back and get you. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. You're going to become one with me. By the way, why don't you get up and let's go there now. And let me show you what this place is going to look like. So when I leave, you'll know what it feels like and looks like. I'm going to take you there. So just look at chapter 15 for a moment. As if they're in the presence of the Father. They're in the glory of the Father. They're in the Father now. So he said, rise, let us go in. So the first thing he says, think about it. You're in this room there, and he's going to describe now an operation of the kingdom of God to them. He's going to try to describe the operation of the Father. He's describing an operation of them, and he's using a vine and a tree and a husband. And he says, think they're in the presence of the Father. He says, I am the true vine. Now, my Father that's here, he's the husbandman. He's the vine dresser. He's the one. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he's going to take away. Now notice what he says is, every branch that beareth fruit in me, that's dwelling in me, he purgeth it, prunes, cleanses it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He who, the Father, if you dwell in me here, my Father will purge, prune, and cleanse you. You know, when you prune a tree, you just cut off those outer edges. You know, you're cutting that out. There's things that are attached to the world the Father's going to cut off. The Father's going to remove, and he's going to do it constantly. He said he's going to make you, he's going to prune you so you can bear more fruit. And everybody go, how many of you ever got a word? I said this the other day, that you're going through a season of pruning. You ever got a word like that? God's taking you to the dark night of the soul and you're going to go through a season of pruning. Oh, glory. Let's go for it. The reason is because most of our experience with pruning happens here. Around the mountains of the earth with what's called the, Matt brought this out, furnace of what? Affliction. How many of you gone through the furnace of affliction and you were pruned? And you think that those words are saying that. My Father's going to send you through. You're going to abide in me here. Dwell in me here. And then because you're bearing fruit, you're going to dwell in me. And then my Father's going to send you back in the earth and prune you in the furnace of affliction. My Father's going to do that to you. He brought him into, he talked about the love of the Father. He goes, but by the way, just so you don't get proud and lofty, my Father's going to send you back to the furnace of affliction. You think that's what he's saying? No, because he differentiated that. Actually, Carlos brought this out. Which I'd have brought it out, but he brought this out. He said, if a man abide, he goes, if you abide in me, my Father will do this here, where we are. My Father will bring you here in the love of the Father. He'll image you. He'll image you. So the Father will image you, right? What did he say? He says, if a branch will not abide in me, say will not, then what happens? He's cast forth. Oh, now he says, and men will gather him and they'll be burned. How many of you ever heard that? Yeah, you don't abide in him, you're going to go to hell, you sinner. You either abide, it's hell or abide. That's all you got. Either get down to this altar and repent and start abiding or hell. Oh, thank God we don't live in that kind of church. The reason we think like that, because we don't read these words where he is. He was giving them words in the presence of the Father. He said, if you abide in me, my Father will prune you in his love. By his love and through his love, he'll reforge you. He'll remake you and reimage you here in the power of love. But if you don't, your branch is going to get cast forth into the earth and you're going to be get subject to men. That's what Carlos brought up. You're going to be subject to the systems of this world. It's going to be cast forth into the furnace of affliction. He's basically given them the option. You're going to change. How many of you know if you walk with God, you're going to be changed? Now, you can be changed in the Father's love, but if you don't, there is no other way. You're going to get out of alignment with me. You're going to be out of alignment. The enemy's going to run roughshod over you. But even when he's running roughshod over you, I can forge things. But you're being given over. Your branch was cut off and cast and given over to the systems of the world. Because that's not what I want. What I want is for you to abide in me. We learn to do that when we've had enough of that kind of operation, enough of the furnace of affliction. We learn to do it a better way. We learn to stay. Align me, oh God. A very, very hot season. My back was scorched. I'm changing so much right now. I said this the other day. I said, so when I'm dwelling, his love just lopped something off. I'm like, that was the most glorious thing ever. I said, was that an actual purge? He goes, I'm your father. I'm going to own every part of you before we're done. I'm just not going to love you in an orphanage. I'm going to take you out of that orphanage and I'm going to love you till you're fully mine. To your spirit, soul, body, mind, heart, actions, reaction, behavior patterns. Till every part of you is mine. Till I reflect every part I'm reflecting into you. My love's going to re-image you. And yes, it was a purging. Isn't it glorious? I'm like, let's do that again. Because that, my friend, is not the furnace of affliction. You were not designed as a son of the living God to be subject to out there in the furnace of affliction. You were designed to dwell in the Father. And the Father knows how to change you. And he's real good at it. And what takes years and years in that furnace, God can do virtually overnight in the power of transforming love that images you into Christ. Christ is the invisible, the image of the invisible Father, and he's conforming us to the image of his Son in there. And love has a power to do that. That's why Jesus wants to get you in there. He's going to accept you the way you are. In fact, he presents you faultless in himself. It's the most glorious thing. He presents you faultless into the presence of the Father. Isn't that amazing? Blameless, unblameable, unreprovable, and faultless. Even when you're not faultless, even when you are blameable, even when you are a rascal. Do you see it? You see the two operations? Which one do you want? Believe me, you make the choice. You make the choice, whether you like it or not. You let yourself, how many of you ever let yourself go? You got hurt or something, or you just got tired and weary, and you were just banged up, and you just let yourself go for a while. And after a while, God gave you grace, and there's rest, but you kept letting yourself go. How many of you ever have? You just let go? How many just let go? It's like, oh, I don't care anymore, whatever, God, you want, you come and get me. And you kept going and going, and you got up out of alignment. And then all of a sudden, one day, woo, the strong man shows up and you are defenseless. And when he got you in that condition, he will whoop on you and whoop on you and whoop on you some more. And whoop on you some more. Because you're out of alignment, you don't have your defense up. And when you've been whooped down to a greasy spot, you come back all broken, busted, disgusted, and get back in there. We ain't never going to do that again, God. Oh, no, we're not going to do it. Forgive me, he did never design that. You let yourself get too far outside of him. The branch got cast into the fire. Go to John 17, because this opened up today. The whole John 17 is prayer. He starts first verse prayer. He's still praying. The Father's answering this prayer. Amen? So, and now I come to thee, Father. And these things I speak in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Do you know what that actually means right there? Do you know what that verse means? To have my joy fulfilled in themselves? He's not talking about joy bubbling out your belly. He said, Father, they're going to have my joy, which is you. The love affair that we have together, they're going to have it fulfilled in them own, in their own self, because I'm about to introduce it to them. I'm going to introduce you to them, Father. And the joy that we have together, I'm going to give to them. That's what he meant. There will be joy, though. Can you imagine walking around as a Christian happy? Wow. You actually have deep-seated joy coming out of the Father. said, now come I to thee. These things I speak of the world, they might have my joy. I have given them thy word. Now, he's talking to them up the room. He started giving them this word at the last part of chapter 13. He's talking about 14, 15, 16, 17 word, upper room revelation. Now, I've given them the words, Father. I've given these 11 the words you gave to me. I've given these words. What is this word? Those five areas. I'm going to go away. I'm going to come. Again, I'm going to receive you to myself. I'm going to reveal the Father. My Father and I is going to come and dwell with you. My Father and I is going to come and demonstrate the kingdom through you. I've given them the mystery, Father, is what he said. All right? And the world hath hated them because they're not of the world. Ooh, look at that. Even as I'm not of the world. Notice what he just said. They're not of the world. Could you imagine when they heard him say that? They're going... He's praying and he says that and they start looking at each other. What? Peter's going, John, you're the one next to him. What did he say? What do you mean? We're not of this world. What do you mean I'm not of this world? He's already moving them to the next level in his prayer. Jesus was already putting them in the next place. He's already got them in the Father and he already knows what the Father's about to do to them. The Father's re-imaging to the place that they're not of this world. Something happens in the love of the Father that starts lopping off, pruning off, cutting off the world system at a phenomenal rate. I mean, I could watch something last week that I just detest this week. Every sense in me is being heightened because things are drawing me now. The love's drawing me into him, being not of his world. This is going to happen to you. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. If he took you out of the world, you're no good. I mean, you're good to him, but you're not even good to the world. But thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of this world. See, he says it again. You have to understand this is what love's going to do to you. People don't understand it. Love is going to come and love you. Love is going to transform you to be, you become a bona fide, legitimate son and daughter of our Father, where he literally lops the world off of you to where you become his. He literally, you become his, where you're dwelling more with him than you are there. You're getting ready to get sent. Some people just get up and go went. Look at verse 17. Please understand this verse. This verse is going to radically transform you. Sanctify them through the truth, for your word is truth. Sanctify them through truth, for thy word is truth. You know how we read that? Okay, we're going to get in the word. Sanctify me, Father. You're going to read 1,000 pages of the word of God. You're getting sanctified. You do. I'm not making light of that at all. The word of God washes you and renews your mind, but that's not what he's talking about. Sanctify them through the truth, for thy word is true. What does sanctify mean? Set apart, separated, consecrated. Separate them unto yourself, Father. Sanctify them unto yourself, where they're totally separate from the world. Purge, prune continually until they're no more of the world, till they reflect more of you than they do the world, till their soul, mind, will, body, mind, heart, emotions reflect more of you than they do the world system. He says, do this, Father, through the words that I'm giving them, this truth that I'm giving them, Father. Let these words bring them to where I am, and I will reveal you in the love that we have. And from that position, you can begin the process of sanctification in the separating them from the world, separating the world from them until they're not of this world. Isn't that glorious? As thou hast, now what happens once you enter the process of sanctification, you start, love does this, by the way. This process of sanctification happens, then he starts talking about getting sent. What about getting, he said, if you'll keep my words, my Father will love you. If you keep my words, my Father will bring you to where he is. He will love you and love will begin this true sanctification, the true setting apart. The true imaging, till you're no longer of this world. And then my Father and I, some of you have checked out already, but the ones who haven't, then my Father and I will come and make our abode with you in the earth. Then you'll get sent, commissioned, sent from a place. Isn't that amazing? All this happens and you've never left the earth, but you have left the earth. Your spirit has been in fellowship with God. Notice verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even have I sent them into the world. Wow. He took them through the whole process in his prayer. He took them all the way into their sanctification. It hadn't even happened yet, and he prayed them all the way through it. He said, bring them into where they are, sanctify them, Father. And once they're set apart unto you, then send them into the world. What did Jesus say? He that sent me into the world is with me. When he says, send them into the world, they're going back with you. Let's stand. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord glory. Praise the Lord. All that happens in that room of glorious love. Love sanctifies. Love sets apart. Love prunes, purges, prepares. Love is going to do that for us all. Understand, these words have the power to get you there. Father, thank you for these words. The glory of them is beyond understanding right now, Father. To see these things, thank you for what you've given. I know the bodies in here are weary, but I ask you to grant them dunamis power, Father. I ask you to grant supernatural strength, supernatural grace to receive what you're saying, Father. What you have given, the invitation you're extending, the power of this love to reimage us. Father, grant all of this. Keep us. Let not one of us look to the right or to the left right now. We're in a race. Put those horse blinders on that we can only see straight in front of us, Father. Help us to be sober and vigilant, Father, in this time and not to be sleeping. This is not a time to be sleeping. It is a time to understand how fast things are going to move. Hear the Lord saying, you have the capacity to walk like I walked. It's what I did for you. I hear the Lord saying that. You have to come into this place. You'll begin encountering more and more as I open the veil fully. You are the generation that will fulfill all promises. You will walk in what I walked in. You will know. The Father and I will dwell with you in the earth. You'll understand the greatest joy ever. To walk among the lame, the maimed, and the blind. And to see the Father raise them. You're going to know this, saith the Lord. Stay on course. I will fulfill all my will for your life.
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge.